All right. Well, last week we were talking about God's number one rule. We've been talking about that for about 5 or 6 weeks now. And it started out with, why do we do what we do? Why do you do anything you do? You know, I mean, sometimes it's out of necessity. Sometimes you do it grudgingly. Sometimes you don't want to have to do certain things. Like, I don't like to obey the speed limit. But I'd rather obey the speed limit than suffer the consequences. But why do we do what we do? Well, in God's situation, He's got some real basic things that He desires. I mean, does anybody have to get saved? Nope. Anybody have to be in church today? Nope. I mean, you may force them. But like I've said so many times, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You haven't changed the man. You may change his actions, but you can't change the man by making him do something. You can't make a man not want to drive fast just by putting a speed limit sign up there. And if he wants to, he's going to do it when he thinks he can get away with it. Anyway, God communicates to us in words. And to understand what He's trying to tell us, we've got to understand the words that He's using. We think we understand so many of these things, but we really don't. I mean, we just assume certain things because, oh, well, that's like this and this is like that. And we know what that means. So this must mean this. But what we don't understand and what we don't get a hold of is that this thing here is a lot more complex and a lot more important than we give credit to. For example, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. Jesus Christ talking. Now, how do you understand that those words that we're looking at right there are spirit and are life? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. How do you figure that out? Well, you don't. I mean, it's just another book with ink on paper, and it's just words. You're used to reading words, so, well, this is just about like reading a magazine or something else. It's just a matter of reading it and understanding it. Wrong. And the reason that's wrong is because the only one that can interpret this to us is the Spirit of God. He's the one that's going to lead and guide us into all truth. Guess what? He won't do it unless you want to be led and guided into some truth. And God is not nearly as interested in your problems as He is in what He desires Himself. I'm right here. Your desires more towards somebody else than yourself? God created everything for who? Himself. I exist for His pleasure. Everything else that's created, He created for His pleasure. Those trees out there, He didn't make those trees for me. He made them for Himself. Those flowers, He made for Himself. The animals, He made for Himself. Each one of us, He created and made for Himself for a specific purpose. And it wasn't just to give Him something to do. God is not just sitting up there in heaven bored to death saying, well, I think I'll create man and then they can have a whole bunch of problems and that'll give me something to do. Wrong. That's not what it's about at all. There's a higher purpose to what He is there for and what we're here for. Anyway, now life has rules. God has rules. Some of those basic rules in life are things like I mentioned last week. I'm just going to touch on them again, but you have to understand the connection between these words and God and what we're trying to understand from Him. And if you're not interested, you're going to be kind of bored with some of this stuff. Other than you might hear something that says, oh, well, that's cute. I never heard that before. I never thought about that before. And you may be entertained a little bit. But unless you have a desire, believe me, you will not change as a result of hearing the Word of God. It says, be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. How many people will just be a hearer of the word today and do nothing about it? How many times do you hear the word of God and do nothing about it? I mean, those are some sobering thoughts. He said, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Every one of us is going to give account to Him at the judgment. So then every one of us should give account of himself to God. When we know those things, what do we do about them? Not very much. Anyway, getting back to some of the rules in life. Marriage got a basic rule. What's the basic rule in marriage? Like I said last week, keep the only unto him or her as long as you both shall live. That's a basic rule in marriage. Now today, that thing is looked at like just a suggestion. Matter of fact, actually, it's ridiculed. It's looked at like some kind of archaic thing that doesn't mean anything. Well, people are deceived. How do you know that? Well, Genesis. There's more to it than meets the eye. There's more to those stars up there, this universe, our life, than meets the eye. It's not just about being born, going to school, learning something, getting a job, earn some money, retire, and die. There's a lot more to it than that. Eternity has begun for every person on this planet. Adam didn't exist until God created him. Guess what? I didn't exist until God created me. What are you talking about? You know, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. He made me for a purpose, just like he made Adam for a purpose. But we look at it from everybody else is doing this and we're exempt, kind of. I think sometimes we feel like the Congress, where they exempt themselves from all the laws. You know, there are people right now in jail for insider trading. Do you know, congressmen, that's legal for them. They can do that. They don't have to go to jail. In fact, they can profit from it. They can go ahead and buy into something and pass laws so that that makes tons of money and their investment takes off. It's sick, man. This world is sick and it's getting worse by the day. I mean, honestly, if you really knew what all was going on in politics, in the world, in industry, in international economy, if you really knew what was going on, we would all be shocked. Literally shocked. We just would not believe it. I mean, it's just amazing what's going on. And it's getting worse every day. Anyway, over here in Genesis, it talks about the number one rule in marriage. And the rib which the Lord hath taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto him. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh. What's that? One flesh. Let me tell you something. Just like you don't understand eternity because you look at the things that exist and those things are temporal. You don't understand the eternal. We can't understand how Adam and Eve became one flesh, even though there was two of them. He backs that up. Backs it up over in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6:16. He said, well, that's Old Testament. That's Adam and Eve. She was bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. They're one flesh. No, no. It goes beyond that. 1 Corinthians 6:16. What, know ye not that that which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. What is that? Something happens when a man and a woman get married and then consummate that marriage. Something happens. You don't understand that. The people out there that are fornicating and committing adultery, they don't understand that. All they know is, hey, this is fun. And then if it feels good, do it. That is the number one rule in marriage. Do you know you could keep every other rule in marriage, every other thing you've committed to in marriage, and the marriage would be a disaster? Because you didn't keep the number one rule, the most important thing. What about some other things? Well, flight, like I told you last week, you know, flight's got a number one rule. The number one rule really is what goes up shall come down. And everything's going to come down. It goes up. So what do you want to do? You want to avoid a sudden stop every time you come down. It's not the fire that gets you, man. It's that sudden stop at the bottom. Same thing in a car. You want to avoid that sudden stop. You want to slow that thing down. That's the number one rule in flight. You can keep every other one and it don't matter. What about driving? You got to do whatever it takes to avoid loss of life and property. That's the number one rule. Business, take care of your customer, somebody else will. Games, if you don't win fair, you don't win at all. Now, rules are different from laws and orders and commands. I mean, you may have never thought about that before, but like I said when we started, this book's made up out of words. The words that I speak in here, they're spirit and they are life. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and without faith it's impossible to please him. We're created for His pleasure. If we're going to please God, we have to gain in faith. And the only way you're going to gain in faith on a spiritual level is through the words in this book. So you have to understand what He's telling us. And it can't be a matter of you go to this book for proof text. You know how many people go to this book just to get a proof text, prove something that they have in their own mind, their own opinion? That's what you call resting the Scriptures to their own destruction. Well, I know this must be right, so God must have addressed it somewhere. And even though this is abstract and obscure, it looks close enough to what I'm trying to say that I can twist it into what I want to say and use God for my authority. You know that's going to happen today all over this world? If it's not already happened in other parts of the world? What is it? Instead of us trying to find out what God is telling us and studying His Word, we're going to the Word to find something else that'll back us up. We're like kids. Mom and Dad said so-and-so. Well, God said so-and-so. That's not trying to understand Mom and Dad. That's just trying to get what you want. When are we going to start getting interested in what God wants instead of what we want? Tough, ain't it? Anyway, rules are different than laws and orders and commands. Laws are imperative or mandatory. They usually include punishment. You know, your speed, got to pay the fine. Fines are getting higher all the time. Orders are authoritative direction. Somebody with authority tells you, do this, that's an order. A command is a charge requiring obedience. What's that? God gives you commands, right? You know, you're not keeping them. Whoever kept all 10 commandments? About the only time you keep any of His commandments is when you're asleep. Oh, maybe if I just sleep for the rest of my life, I quit sinning. That's right. They just sleep in Jesus. That's about the truth of it. Anyway, a rule is an established principle, standard, or directory. And rules are above everything else. Rules precede laws. You ever heard of the rule of law? What's that? Well, these laws over here exist because there's an order above them that establishes them. And the rule of law has to do with the republic establishing a set of laws and living by them. And the minute you make the rules and then begin to change the rules for your own benefit, you have transcended the whole thing. You've changed the whole program to get what you want out of it instead of it to work in an order. Now, men can make up laws, and those laws may not be always right. But when God says something, you can take it to the bank. I mean, there's so much stuff over there in Proverbs that we don't live by, and if it was applied in our natural life, everything would be different. He's got a set of rules and laws that He understands who we are and how we're made. And if we function according to what He's given us instruction, our lives are better. But we kind of pick and choose what we like. Oh, I like that one over there. I like John 3:16, man. I like reading over in Psalms. I get a blessing out of that. Well, that ain't the only place, man. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that He tells us. But His commands require obedience. Rules precede orders and commands by governing those that give them. You ever heard of rules of conduct? Those officers are governed by a set of rules, not commands, rules. We don't have enough rules right now governing our nation, the people that make the laws and give us commandments. We need some rules for those guys. That's why they're up there writing their own rules. I can inside trade, but you go to jail if you do it. I serve one term. I get $168,000 a year for the rest of my life. You guys have to work hard and then be lucky if you get any of it. Because we're going to play games with your money. Anyway, we can obey every law and order and command and still fail. You understand that? I mean, do you realize that if you obeyed every single command God gave you, you could still be a disaster when it came time for the judgment? Well, so I don't believe that. You will before we're done this morning, I think. You can obey everything and still fail. What about business? You can obey every rule of the health department. You can obey all the laws of the IRS. You can obey every county code. And you can obey everything dealing with your employees, human resources, and still fail. You understand that? You know businesses that have obeyed every law and they're out of business now? You betcha. What about driving? I can obey every law and still end up messed up. How's that? Well, one day my daughter and I were driving around. We got up here at Nine Mile Road in Chemistran. We were visiting a house and we heard this big old crash sound. And it sounded literally like a freight train in a yard backing up to a bunch of cars and coupling them, how each one of those couplings go clunk, 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 clunk. That's what it sounded like. It was a chain of sounds. And we're, whoa, what was that? Well, about 10 minutes later, or maybe only 5 minutes later, we left, we pulled out, went over to Chemistran north of 9 Mile Road, and one of those side streets started to turn north, and there's fire all across Chemistran and 9 Mile. I said, whoa, what's going on there? I told her, I said, I got to go down and see what's going on here. I mean, what made that noise? Well, that was a long time ago, and there was a warehouse there, Mayflower or something, warehouse back in there where that bank's at. We came back down south, and there was still fire and pieces of rubber strewn across the road burning. There wasn't any cars in the intersection, nothing. Down in front of Kmart, there's a Pinto sitting there on fire with flames coming up as high as this ceiling. A couple of bodies somebody drug out laying beside it. On the other side, over there in the ditch, was a Ford pickup truck. The whole front end of it smashed in. What happened was, that guy had come out of Chan's or whatever it was down there, drunk, feeling really good, and accelerated up to about 80 or 90 miles an hour, and slammed into that little Pinto sitting at a red light. That's what happened. And those two people in that car obeyed every law, and they ended up dead. You can obey every rule and still end up messed up. And what if the person actually looked in the rearview mirror and saw this truck coming, like my wife did one time, almost in the same area and from the same place? What if she looks in the mirror and she goes, oh, I'm going to get hit. Well, I got insurance. You can obey all the laws. You know what? At that time, you run the red light. You do whatever it takes to avoid loss of life and property. And that rule precedes every law. Rules are more important. What about in marriage? You can remember every birthday and every anniversary, and you can buy them gifts, and you can earn them money, and you can make them feel safe, and you can make them feel provided for. But if you don't keep that number one rule, you don't have a marriage. What's a marriage? That's two people joined becoming one flesh. You start playing with that one, you no longer have a marriage. What about in flight? You can obey every Federal Aviation Administration law and still end up in a smoking hole in the ground. And that's simply the truth. What about games? Is there any rule in Monopoly about bringing extra money with you when you come to start to play the game? Is there any rule that says in poker that you can't bring extra cards with you? But you see, if you win that way, you don't win. Now, you might take somebody else's money. You may make everybody else think you won, but you don't win. If you don't win fair, you don't win at all. A game is competition. You feel like, well, I competed and I won. No, you didn't. I don't care what everybody else thinks. It don't matter. You don't have to play. What's the point in playing solitaire if you're going to cheat? What's the point? You might as well just sit there and twiddle your thumbs. You've accomplished nothing. I mean, just turn the cards all face up and start with an ace. When you find the ace, put it here. Another ace here. Find the deuce. Find the tray. Just put them out there. There ain't any point in playing if you're going to cheat. Because cheating destroys the purpose for playing. Now, God's got a number one rule. And it's above His laws, orders, and commands. What's His number one rule? We've talked about it now for a few weeks. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know what happens if you keep His commandments and you don't love Him? You wasted your time. Like I said, you can obey every single law and commandment in this book except that one right there. You miss that one, you've missed the whole thing. You know what's going on? Martha and Mary. Mary's in love with Jesus Christ. She's just enamored with Him. Martha's in there working like crazy. She's knocking herself out. Which one do you think is in love with Jesus Christ? It's not the one that's working. It's the one that ain't working. We keep patting the Marthas on the back, promoting the Marthas. Get more done. The more you do, the more we're going to recognize you. That's what builds churches. It don't build Christians, people. I'll tell you what builds Christians. It's recognizing who the one that made you is and why you're made and why He's worth pleasing. I talked to a preacher over in Jacksonville last week. He said, "How you doing?" I said, "Man, I'm doing so great. I'll have to hire somebody to follow me around yelling hallelujah." He said, "Man, that's pretty good." He said, "Sound like you're doing good." I said, "Yes, today I get to please my Creator. I get to do something for the one that speaks things into existence to bring Him pleasure. I get to do that, man." When you're thinking about what you're doing and the job and how you're doing it, you miss that whole thing. When you get a desire like that, that desire is because I get to do something for my wife. I get to do something for my children. Not of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Duty destroys the cheer in giving. It's gone. I don't care how much you give. You won't feel that. And you won't feel it because we didn't pay attention to what He said. We take the stuff we like. We play by those rules. In Monopoly, most people throw out the rule that says any chance money or any community chest money and these taxes go back into the bank. We put that over in free parking. We're going to make our own rules. We don't like those rules. Somebody wins because they won free parking money and that allowed them to buy a whole bunch of hotels and houses. I hate to tell you, but you didn't win fair. You might have beat those other people on an even playing field, but you're not going to win any kind of national contest like that because those aren't the rules. God's got some rules. If you're going to get married, you need to stay faithful if you're going to get married. If you're going to be in business, you better take care of your customers. In business, customers king. Why do you think Walmart's so successful? Why? Oh, they sell cheap stuff. Oh, they do a lot more than that. They put a guarantee on that. If you're not happy, we're not going to argue with you. You just come on back. They ever argue with you when you bring stuff back? You've seen some of the shape, some of that junk comes back in, and they go ahead and they take it back. Customer's king. There's a program on TV about a guy that owns some steakhouses, and he goes around to these restaurants and fixes the problem. He does it by putting cameras up all over the place secretly and then watches what happens in the restaurant. You know what his prime purpose is in his business? What he's after all the time? Making that customer happy. If the customer's unhappy, do whatever it takes to make them leave really happy. Here, let me get that door for you. The owner of the company. Here, let me get that door for you. Here, let me get this for you. Here, let me get that for you. You take care of your customers, they'll take care of you. You don't take care of your customers, it don't matter. If you're going to be in business, you better take care of your customers. If you're going to play a game, there ain't no purpose in cheating. Because you're going to know you didn't win. And there is no sense whatsoever of feeling like you've accomplished anything except getting over on somebody else. What about with God? Well, if you don't do what He wants you to do because you love Him, you're wasting your time. When you've done that which was your duty to do, you are to say, "We are unprofitable servants." Why do you think over there in the Laodicean church, He says, "I know thy works"? And there's a whole bunch of Christians aren't even working, right? They don't even care enough to try. They're not Martha. They're not Mary. Man, they're just doing nothing, man. They're just sitting there wondering what's going on. "I know thy works, you know. that thou art neither cold nor hot. So then, because thou art neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. When you go to the judgment seat of Christ, guess what? You don't get judged. You know that? What gets judged? The works get judged. So then every man's work is tried. And if it be gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, the wood, hay, and stubble burns up. The only thing that survives that fire are the works that are done under that one thing right there. You know what commandments are? Those are things you're supposed to do or not supposed to do. I mean, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Thou shalt not kill. It's a do or it's a don't. If you do the wrong things for the wrong reasons or the right things for the wrong reasons, those works, the things that you did in your body, those things gone. They just burn up. But he himself shall be saved yet so as by fire. So what are we doing in this life as Christians? We should be doing something about what we hear. Not just listening to it, get the warm fuzzies, feel good or feel guilty. Big difference between feeling guilty and feeling conviction. Big time, big difference. Do you know the things that the Lord's dealing with you about? And you also know the difference of that sensation when somebody starts talking about, oh, we need to be doing more. By and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. Well, I better get something done. You better hurry up and get something. Mom and Dad are going to be home soon. Oh, really? Is that about Mom and Dad? No. You better slow down. The cop's over there. You can obey all those laws and all those rules. It don't matter. What matters is what's in here. Man looketh on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. You can knock yourself out and be Martha, and all you're going to end up is a Christian that's careful and troubled about many things. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. What is that? He wants your affections. That's what it is. Anyway, what's the problem? Is the problem love, you think? Kind of a trick question. If you love me, keep my commandments. Sounds like the problem would be love, right? Well, it's not really. What was Satan's problem? Satan's problem is pride, right? What's in the middle of pride? I. What's that got to do with anything? Look at 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Does that sound like today? Do you realize we've got people being paid by tax money that are destroying America? We got people that swore an oath to defend our Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and they couldn't care less about what they said. Do you know it's got to the point now that you can take the oath and swear like you're swearing in court over the telephone? They can swear you in over the telephone. I told my wife when I heard that, I said, that's because it don't mean anything anymore. You solemnly swear. Who are solemnly swear? By what? By me. Well, you ain't any better than your word. That's why they don't prosecute anybody for perjury anymore. I mean, Clinton get prosecuted for it? No. He isn't even found guilty. Nothing happened. I mean, they don't even try. They don't even try to put any pressure on people in court if they're lying. They expect it now. A judge's primary job nowadays is to figure out which one's lying the most. That's really what it is. You watch some of the programs. That's exactly what's going on. And they're reading all the signs. What's the problem? Verse 2. First line. First part. Men should be lovers of their own selves. The problem is not love. The problem is where it's placed. That's the problem. You know why Satan said, I will lift myself up. I will become like the Most High. There's where his affections were, right there. They weren't on the one that created him. They weren't on the one that honored him. They weren't on the one that gave him power and authority and position. What's God given you? You think Satan was a fool? Oh yeah, Satan's a fool. How about us? Well, the Lord gave me the understanding this morning when I woke up about 5:30. Woke up, went to bed thinking about the same stuff, talking to the Lord about it. I said, God, I want to understand love. I want to know what it means. I want to know how it works. I want to know how to increase my love for you. I want to love you more. I woke up this morning, and it was just like, whoosh, there it is. We're going to be talking about that more and more in the next few weeks, because our problem is not lack of love. Our problem is, number one, our affections are in the wrong place. Number two, we don't understand love. Number three, we don't understand how important it is to him. Number four, we don't understand how to even increase our love toward each other or him. I mean, how do you start loving something you don't love? I mean, I don't like liver. I would be hard-pressed to love liver. I mean, I could fake it, like so many people are in marriages these days. But boy, to really love it, that's like saying, you know, I count it all joy when I fall into diverse temptations. Wait a minute, God. I mean, you know, be thankful in all things, but count it all joy? Man, that's a tough one. You think the other one's bad? When was the last time you experienced joy when things went wrong? When you're tempted? Jesus, did you experience joy when you fell in all temptations, when Satan tempted you? Man, those are some tough things, man. I kid you not. We don't understand them. And I believe, honestly, through this, the Lord's going to teach us how to do these things. And the danger there is, to whomsoever much is given, much shall be required. Let's close in prayer.